Roaming the landscapes of North America about 230 million years ago, you might have found a chicken-sized dinosaur that's newly identified as the oldest in North America, which at the time was the northern part of a supercontinent.
The discovery puts the species on the continent long before any other known dinosaurs in the region, and it adds a new wrinkle to the development of dinosaurs.
David Lovelace is a UW-Madison Geology Museum scientist and co-leader of the project that discovered North America's oldest known dinosaur in Wyoming. David, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me in. I really appreciate it.
I want to start by meeting this dinosaur and hearing the story behind the name, which is itself pretty interesting.
Thanks. Yeah. So Avetum bonduivici, that's our new dinosaur, which is funny. When you look at the specimen itself, it doesn't look like a lot. It has a partial upper leg bone and an ankle bone, and that's really it that we can definitively assign to the dinosaur. But yeah, that's the naming process. It is kind of a long-lived event. We found this specimen in 2013, and it wasn't really until a little after 2020 that we kind of went on this new trajectory of how we were going to describe the animal. And in that case, we started working with the Wind River Reservation, specifically the Eastern Shoshone. And we had also worked with the Northern Arapaho TIPO offices, so the Tribal Historic Preservation offices for both tribes, for naming three new taxa that we had found over that 10-year duration.
And then what is this name, inspired by Eastern Shoshone language? What does it mean?
So Avetum is long ago, and bonduivici is dinosaur. So that's the Shoshone word for dinosaur. But, of course, as the elders told me, they didn't really have a word for dinosaur before Western science really had brought that into the lexicon. And so they co-opted a word that also means, it's the same thing, bonduivici. And bon is the word for water, and water is a really important and significant part of the culture. Duivici means handsome young man. So putting them together, the water dogs or the salamanders were bonduivici. And they thought that that was because the salamanders were just these beautiful colors. And so that was the word that they chose to represent dinosaurs.
Now let's talk about the first part of the name, Avetum, long ago. Even by dinosaur standards, we're talking a long time ago. So we got dinosaurs up to, what, 65 million years ago? Or now, if we count birds, I guess. But 200 million plus years ago, that's early even by dinosaur standards, right?
Yeah. So this dinosaur, one of the things that we really had to develop was understanding the age of the rock where this critter came from. And that's, again, why it took us a little while to get this into publication. But we have an age now really well constrained to about 230 million years old. And if we look at that, the end of the dinosaur reign, the big dinosaurs, the non-birds, was 65. And so by the time you add that all together, you have a big gap in time between the first dinosaur and the last.
I imagine if we're talking over 200 million years, it's less likely that any given fossil is going to survive that long, right? So we can go and find it?
Sure. Not only do the rocks become less and less prevalent the deeper in time you tend to go, but yeah, the fossils themselves, in this case, a lot of the animals at that time period, especially dinosaurs, were relatively small. And so finding a small dinosaur is a lot more difficult than finding something, you know, the size of a school bus.
I want to talk about the process of discovery here, because I think a lot of us, if we imagine we were doing paleontology, well, we dig and dust a little bit and, oh, here's a whole dinosaur skeleton, and it's clearly a dinosaur. With something this old in particular, we're finding parts and then extrapolating from what we know, I guess, about dinosaur anatomy?
Yeah, and in this case, because we do have just a couple of elements of the animal, we're really fortunate to have the two bones that we do because they're diagnostic. They have features that really tell us something about where it fits in the dinosaur family tree, but it is only because there are specimens that exist that are really well studied, and they actually represent a really large part of the animal, relatively complete skeletons like Eoraptor. And our specimen, Avetum, comes out really close to Eoraptor. So we're kind of using that to fill in the gaps to of the data or the information that we're missing.
And you mentioned there is a time lag between finding these specimens and doing the work necessary to figure out what this is and where it fits in.
Yeah. So in this case, you know, it tends to be that there's a, you know, 5 to 10 years is not uncommon for a new discovery in paleontology before it actually makes its way to formal publication. It can be much, much longer depending on the specimen and, you know, other circumstances. But the event you find the fossil, well, you have to, if it's a big animal, you have to extract it. It's usually still encased in rock. You bring it back to the lab, prepare it up, and that preparation process usually takes, for every hour we spend in the field, every person hour, is about 10 to 20 hours in the lab cleaning it up. And so when you have an animal that's gigantic, I mean, it took, you know, 10, 15 years just to prepare it, the biggest animals that I've worked on. This animal, we were really fortunate because it was, in terms of that part, we actually found the fossils just sitting on the surface. We didn't excavate them. We did spend time trying to find the rest of the animal, but what we ended up, everything we had was just on the surface. So it was very easy to prepare and curate. It was the other information, figuring out the context, that took so long.
Now, you mentioned the size. Give us a description from what we could tell from the pieces we have. What might this dinosaur have looked like?
So even though this dinosaur is on the line to the sauropods, the long-necked, long-tailed dinosaurs, it would have looked like a pretty small, kind of a chicken size. So it would have stood about a foot high at the hips and probably around 3 feet long from head to the tip of the tail. It would have had a long tail. So the tail would have made up almost half of the body. It would have been a very good chunk of the animal with a long neck, and it kind of would have looked like a little tiny theropod, an early theropod, a meat-eating dinosaur. So if you imagine like a really skinny, tiny version of like an allosaur, that's kind of in the realm.
And you mentioned meat-eating. Can we make educated guesses about what this would have eaten?
So the teeth, when you look at the animals closely related to it, are relatively sharp and still serrated. They look like meat-eater teeth, which is why Eoraptor was originally described as a theropod. But the structures of the leg and other parts of the body really more closely align it to the sauropod line. So, yeah, it almost certainly ate meat. Even though it was on the line to the herbivorous dinosaurs, where in that transition it was, it's hard to say. We like to think it was an omnivore and probably early on in that transition.
Now, people might wonder, I wonder, when we hear about a fossil find, can we do any sort of genetic read on it? Correct me if I'm wrong, 200 million plus years old, we can't.
We cannot. In this case, there really isn't anything in the fossil record that preserves that kind of information that far back. So we don't have genetic information, and so we have to rely strictly on structures within the bones themselves.
We're talking about a newly discovered dinosaur with David Lovelace, UW-Madison Geology Museum scientist. Now, Dave, we've been talking about the time frame here, but a big part of the story is the place.
Yeah.
This is found in what is now North America. Set the scene. What would, if we had a globe from the era when this dinosaur lived, what would we be looking at?
All right. So during this time of the Triassic, the late Triassic, the continents were all pushed together in the supercontinent Pangaea, and this is before it really began to break up at the very end of the Triassic, and it would have looked like a giant C shape. So the sea would be imprinted right over the globe, with the middle of the sea being around the equator, and then it kind of curves down to the southern hemisphere, and then it would curve the opposite direction up top in the northern hemisphere. And so we would be sitting right in the middle of the sea, on the northern half of the equator in tropical environments. So at the time, Wyoming was about 5 to 10 degrees paleo latitude. So really, tropics. You know, we'd be thinking southern Mexico, a little bit Central America would be about the place we might envision this animal in this giant part of the continent.
And that's important because one big question in our study of dinosaurs is, well, where did dinosaurs start? What had been kind of the prevailing notion?
So when we look at the early evolution of dinosaurs, for decades now, we've thought that the first dinosaurs really originated in the southern hemisphere, and they would have been around 30 degrees paleo latitude south. So the southern hemisphere, we would call that kind of mid to high latitude. There wasn't anything from that up to the equator and nothing in the northern hemisphere until around 221 million, and that was the most recent dinosaur from North America called Lepidus. And the other ones are around 215. So there was a big gap in time between the first dinosaurs that were well-dated and well-constrained in the southern hemisphere to those in the north.
And so we've got this dinosaur dated to 230 million years ago. How does this change the story?
So now that we actually have a dinosaur from the northern hemisphere and from the equator, it starts challenging, well, not starts, it challenged and really helps to establish the fact that dinosaurs were in the northern hemisphere at the same time that they were in the southern hemisphere. And there's a very little difference between the very earliest ones and this. Moreover, our specimen helps to pull down in age other dinosaurs from such as those in Europe and others in North America to around the same age. And it's making sense.
Now, we were just chatting about this, the Wisconsin Today team, and somebody said, you know, were they there looking to find a dinosaur that was 230 million years old? Or were you there looking for whatever you hoped to, you know, whatever you could find, and you happened to find this thing there?
This definitely was not the goal of the research. I grew up in Wyoming, and part of what I wanted to do was understand these red rocks. In fact, my dissertation was on the same units, just a little bit older. And they were notorious in Wyoming for being non-fossiliferous. So professors at the university would send us out to go look if we made them mad and be like, go find a fossil.
There's your snipe hunt, basically.
Exactly. That's the best way to say it. Yes, it totally is. It's a Triassic snipe hunt. During my dissertation, I ended up finding thousands of tracks. So we knew these animals were here, and all of this stuff was new. And we're like, hey, there's something going on. Let's figure this out. So once I started at the university in my current position, it was all about bringing undergrads out to the field, giving them the experience, and just seeing what we could find and seeing what was there.
Now, you're from Wyoming. You come to Wisconsin to be a professor. You want to look for dinosaurs. You go back to Wyoming. As I understand it, we can look all we want in Wisconsin. We're not going to find a lot of dinosaur fossils. Why is that?
Well, so this is that geological circumstance that kind of led to what we see in Wisconsin. We have amazing rocks here, and a lot of them tell just these astounding stories of deep time. But the age of the Mesozoic rocks, the age of the dinosaurs, they aren't here either because what was here has been eroded away, or more likely these are the areas of Wisconsin may have been a little bit higher, and the sediment as it was depositing just never really was deposited or captured here. But erosion is the enemy of time for paleontologists.
Well, now, I'm assuming you found a couple bits of this new old dinosaur. You're going to go back and look for more bits?
Yeah, so we actually have gone out. This is the first year we found it, and then we went out the successive 2 years. One was just surface collection, and then one time we actually excavated the entire surface of the hill down to parent rock, trying to find this thing. And we couldn't find anything. So we've collected more, just little fragments, so we're like, we'll give nature its course and come back out maybe in 10 years. So probably in another year or two, we'll head out and actually do another systematic survey of that area, hoping to figure out where these bones are eroding out of.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for sharing your research with us.
Hey, thanks for having me in. Really appreciate the time.
David Lovelace is a UW-Madison Geology Museum scientist and co-leader of the project that discovered North America's oldest known dinosaur. It was likely roaming the landscapes of North America about 230 million years ago. To read more about that dinosaur, visit WPR.org.
Now, do you have questions about Wisconsin or its people that you want WPR to investigate? And if so, visit our Wisconsin page and submit a question.
In the past, we've tracked down the origins of Wisconsin's cannibal sandwich and found out why the badger is our state's animal.
Submit your question and hopefully we can find an answer. Get to the bottom of it. Visit WPR.org/Wisconsin. That's W-H-Y. And thanks so much for listening to Wisconsin Today.
We'll be right back.
still ahead on Wisconsin Today. Meet the STEM Forward Engineer of the Year, who is leading studies to eradicate harmful PFAS, often called forever chemicals.
With the challenge of the forever part, there's a lot of people working on strategies that can target those so they aren't forever. And so it's a really active research area.
That conversation is next on WPR News.